intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart. Fred Williams is on assignment. What doubts do Christians have? On today's program, we're looking at our list of doubts Christians have. This is based on an answer I gave to an agnostic. His name is Santi Taffarella. His blog, Prometheus Unbound, it's had millions of visits. And he asked me a while back, he said, Bob, I'd like to ask you a personal question. When you doubt, what is it exactly that you doubt? So I'd like to share with you the answer I gave to him, and also to remind you, remind myself that Monday is the end. It's the end, not of the world. That sort of be nice. But Monday is the end of our annual telethon. Every September, our goal, vital goal of $40,000, and we're a long way off. We're not even near $30,000 yet. So please help if you possibly can. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, or go to our website, rsr.org. Click on the store. You could subscribe to one of our resources, video, audio. You could make a donation one time or monthly. Those really help tremendously. And we take all subscription amounts and monthly donations. We times them by 10 and apply that toward our telethon goal of $40,000. So if somebody were to give $100 a month, wow, it'd be extraordinary, right? Well, that would bring us $1,000 further toward our goal. Wow, how exciting would that be? If someone were to give $200, of course, $2,000, bring us a huge chunk closer to the goal. Okay, so Santi Taffarella, his blog is called Prometheus Unbound. And he asked this simple question, and as a result of his question, we created our list of doubts Christians have. So here's his question. Santi Taffarella writes, Bob, I'd like to ask you a personal question. When you doubt, what is it exactly that you doubt? I responded, well, Santi, I doubt that the rising mountain of evidence utterly refuting Darwinism will bring a majority of evolutionists to acknowledge our Creator God. I doubt that. I doubt that the failed predictions of the Big Bang Theory will lead atheists to dot, dot, dot. But wait, I'm sure those are not the kinds of doubts you're asking me about. You're asking me to indicate of the beliefs that I hold, which ones do I sometimes doubt? And you notice when you're interacting with an atheist, a homosexual, a pro-abort, a leftist, you're interacting with someone who's in rebellion against the God of the scriptures. And if you were to ask them a question like that, and they would misinterpret your question intentionally, and that's it, that's as far as they'd go. They almost never will say, now, I know what you're actually asking me, and let me reply to that. So my intention, of course, is to be forthright and courteous to people we disagree with. And so I say, but wait, Santi, I'm sure you're not asking me about those kinds of doubts. You're asking me to indicate of the beliefs that I hold, which ones do I sometimes doubt? To help myself think through this, right? And to answer him, he's asking a question right there. You're on the spot. To help myself think through this, I'll first list the things I never, ever doubt. I never doubt that I exist. So that's how we start, right? I think, therefore I am. I never doubt that I exist. Now, if you're talking to an atheist, it's real easy to find an atheist who will tell you that he's not sure if he exists. For us, all we had to do was go to the Denver Museum, bring along a journalist. We had a group of about maybe 50 of us, homeschool students, parents, and the curator of the museum, Dr. Kirk Johnston. I was challenging him on misinformation that he was presenting at children's eye level. And I said, now, that's not true. You can't claim that that's true. And he said, he sounded like Pontius Pilate. He said, what is truth? What is truth? So I said to him, and again, this is in front of a journalist with the Colorado Springs Gazette, a reporter, and the whole crowd. And I thought, okay, here we can find common ground, because of course he wants to deny truth because he intuitively knows that if truth exists, there's likely a God of truth. So I asked him, Kirk, do you exist? And he said, I don't know. You don't know. Now, it's mostly an intellectual tantrum, right? You could think that everyone else in the world doesn't exist and it's just your fantasy, but you can't think that you don't exist. You can't think that I am someone in someone else's dream. I don't exist. You can't think that. He's absolutely certain beyond any doubt that evolution is true, but he doesn't know if he exists. That's the kind of temper tantrum you deal with. That's the kind of ignorance you deal with when you're talking to people who reject the most obvious truth of all truths, that God exists. So I begin in my answer to Santi, Bob, let me ask you a personal question. When you doubt, what is it exactly that you doubt? So I say, well, Santi, to think through this, I'll first list the things I never, ever doubt. I never doubt that I exist. So that's where this list begins. I never doubt that I exist. At the bottom of the list, we get to things that, as a Christian, I doubt. But to begin with, the things I never, ever doubt. I never doubt that I exist. Secondly, I never doubt that truth exists. Because, for example, it is true that I exist. Now, that's a second temper tantrum you could easily catch atheists in. Because if you ask them, does absolute truth exist? Very often they'll say no. At our website, kgov.com/atheism, you'll find our list of 10 cliches often claimed by atheists. In each one, we show how you could refute it in 8 seconds or less. So I never doubt that I exist, and I never doubt that truth exists, because, for example, it is true that I exist. So at our list of cliches from atheists, the atheist cliche, there is no truth, and we have to rebut that in 8 seconds or less, right? So to rebut that, we say, is that true? There is no truth. Is that true? It exposes the absurdity of the claim. And you know how long it takes to make that challenge? 1 second. That's a 1 second rebuttal for a standard atheist cliche. Is that true? There is no truth. Is that true? If it's true, then he's got a real problem, right? Because he just claimed there is no truth. But of course, it's false. And it has to be false because there is truth. So my second observation I make to Santi, after I never doubt that I exist, is I never doubt that truth exists because, for example, it is true that I exist. And then third, I never doubt that reason exists because I can reason to the truth of the previous sentence. Right? The previous sentence is, I never doubt that truth exists because, for example, it is true that I exist. So we have existence, truth, and reason. Then, I never doubt that there is a reality because truth and reason exist. So now what do we have? We have my own existence. We have reality, truth, and reason. I never doubt that the universe exists because I exist as part of it and I could reason to the truth of its existence. So we have reality, the universe, me in it, truth, and reason. It's all there. And this is all true if someone had never heard of the Bible, or if they lived before the first page of the Bible was written. Let's say this was Job's mother. Job's mother thinking about these things when she's a teenager in front of a fire out under the stars. So then we have this. I never doubt that the universe must have had a beginning because stars still burn available energy. Right now, a star eventually would burn out. A fire can't burn forever. Eventually, available energy is expended. And so we look at the creation and we recognize, and this is true throughout human history, from the earliest known records in human history, that a creator is intuitive. Everyone knows there must be a creator unless they're the kind of person who could throw an intellectual temper tantrum and deny that they exist or deny that truth exists. Then, of course, they could deny that a creator exists because they're behaving like a spoiled brat, like a child throwing a temper tantrum. I never doubt that the universe had a beginning because stars still burn available energy. That's a thermodynamics argument. The universe could not have been here forever. If it had been, then the universe would be a perpetual motion machine, and only a quack would try to sell you a perpetual motion machine. And if the multiverse has been popping universes into existence from eternity past, then the multiverse would be a perpetual motion machine. And you'd have to be a quack to try to sell that to someone. So the universe, I never doubt that the universe must have had a beginning. Next, since truth and reason exist, I never doubt that logic exists. Since I exist and logic exists, I never doubt that existence itself must be rational. Since logic and reason exist, I never doubt that whatever has a beginning must have a cause. Now, did you hear that? This is one of the Christian statements that is most often misquoted by atheists. Atheists pretend, or they have very low IQ and really bad memories, even when they're researching on the internet and writing articles. Atheists pretend that Christians say that everything had to have a beginning. And so they say, so then what created God? What started God? That's not what Christians, as far as I know, no Christian has ever said that. And if they did say that, they would not be following any kind of biblical Christian doctrine. Whatever has a beginning must have a cause. They missed that part, right? Whatever has a beginning. So since logic and reason exist, I never doubt that whatever has a beginning must have a cause. Since logic and reason exist, I never doubt that the effect cannot be greater than the cause. Does that make sense? The effect cannot be greater than the cause. So if you throw a handful of dirt up toward the sun, it's not going to hit the sun. It's not going to hit the sun. It's not going to put out the fire on the sun, because you throwing that handful of dirt, you simply are not a great enough cause to have an effect of hitting the sun and putting out the fire on the sun. Now, somebody might think that the effect can be greater than the cause. Like, let's say there's a cute little mouse and it's nibbling at a piece of cheese, and it takes the slightest tiny little bit of a nibble of the cheese, and whoosh, comes the trap, and the mouse is squished to death. So why is it that that tiny little nibble caused that enormous force to crush the mouse in half? Well, it's because of the potential energy that was stored up within the mouse trap when it was set. And the spring was loaded. So whether it's initially obvious or not, since logic and reason exist, I never doubt that the effect cannot be greater than the cause. I never doubt that whatever caused the universe must be powerful and even greater than the universe itself. And since logic exists, I realize that nothing that has a beginning can have existed forever. And since the cause of the universe must exist, I realize that it has no beginning and it has existed forever. And if you'd like to read this list, of course, like virtually everything we do here at Real Science Radio, we put it online in readable format so you could take your time with it, process it. Just go to rsr.org, and that's our homepage for Real Science Radio. So if you go there in the next 7 days, you'll see this right at the top of the list. If you go to rsr.org and it's now 3 weeks later, let's say it's mid-October, you go to rsr.org, on that page, there are the 10 most recent Real Science Radio broadcasts. So you look to the third one down, there it is. But we'll also present this with a permanent URL. So you could type in directly rsr.org/doubts, right? Doubts, our list of doubts Christians have. And of course, we're beginning with a list of things I never doubt as a Christian, the list of things I never doubt. We're up to the one we've just done is this: since the cause of the universe must exist, I realize that it has no beginning and has existed forever. Right? And then next. And since this uncaused cause created the universe, including its ingredients, that's all part of the universe, I don't doubt that it also created me. You get that? Because the uncaused cause created the universe, and the universe really is its ingredients. That's what the universe is. If an atheist or an agnostic tells you that they have a theory of origins, a secular theory of origins, ask them, how does consciousness arise naturally? Self-awareness. How does that arise naturally? They will tell you, I have no idea. No one has any idea. And then you say, aha, then you don't have a theory, do you, of origins? Because you're part of the universe. And if you have no theory of how you, with your self-awareness, your consciousness, if you have no theory of how consciousness arises, that means you don't even have a working hypothesis of origins. You don't even have a hypothesis. You can't have a robust theory if there's a major part of the universe, namely human consciousness, that you have no proposal for. Then you don't have a theory. You don't even have a hypothesis, and you've traded away Genesis for nothing, because the thing that doesn't exist, God exists. Secular theories of origins do not exist. Think about that. God exists. Secular theories of origins do not exist. We have a video on that. It's called Trading Genesis. It's so much fun. It's at our YouTube channel, and we'll embed it on today's program. So you go to rsr.org, or if it's in a few weeks from now, rsr.org/doubts, and you could read this list and also then enjoy our video, Trading Genesis, filmed on the Pepperdine University campus in Malibu, California. God exists, secular theories of origins do not. By the way, our telethon to help us keep Real Science Radio on the air for another year, our vital goal is $40,000, and we're most of the way toward $30,000 from $20,000, but we're not at $30,000 yet. And what, the month ends on Monday? Ah, we truly need your help. If you could possibly help, 1-800-8-NYART, that's my last name, Enyart, E-N-Y-A-R-T, 1-800-836-9278, or go to our website, rsr.org, that's rsr.org, click on the store, and if you subscribe, that helps more than anything, or one-time donation, or if you shop, including browsing and shopping our science resources, anything that's purchased during this telethon month applies directly to the goal. You also might get Christmas presents, science videos. They're beautiful, they're fascinating, and they really come off well as presents. We've been hearing that for many years. And there's also science books. Well, there's In the Beginning by Dr. Walt Brown. It's becoming increasingly hard to find a copy of In the Beginning, the 8th edition. So you might want to get that or some of our specials, some of our Bible studies, sermons. We've got so much to offer. And then My Life's Work, The Plot, an overview of the Bible, The Plot. So much fun and so informative. And like everything in our store, 30-day money-back guarantee. There's also the Enyart Library. You get everything. The audio library, the video library. It's all so much fun. Okay, so let's continue. We're at the point where I have realized that the uncaused cause created the universe, and I don't doubt that it also created me. Next. Since I am a person, and the effect cannot be greater than the cause, I don't doubt that the Creator is personal. The Creator is personal. Right? I'm a person. You're a person. A person's a person, no matter how small. But since the Creator made us, and the effect cannot be greater than the cause, I don't doubt that the Creator is personal. And because we persons are creative like He is, I never doubt that we are made to some extent in His likeness. Right? We're going step by step with the things I never doubt. And because the Creator is a person, I never doubt that He must be alive. So, I never doubt that the attributes of our eternal Creator are that He is living and personal. And I never doubt that human beings refer to the living and personal eternal Creator as God. That's obvious. And I never doubt that to be a person, one must have a will, so that it is by God's will that I exist. A will is the ability to decide, and part of being a person requires possessing a will. There are a lot of Christian theologians that really deny that God has a will, a functional will, a libertarian free will, they might call it. But I never doubt that it is by God's will that I exist. he created, right? He created us, and it's his will that humanity exists. And because we creatures have the ability to know our Creator, I never doubt that he is relational. That's so important, that he is relational. And because he made us with the ability to love, I never doubt that the Creator himself can love. Does that make sense? Well, if the effect cannot be greater than the cause, if you had an explosion in a junkyard, it couldn't produce a creature capable of love. It couldn't do that. But because he made us with the ability to love, I never doubt that the Creator himself can love. And because God can love, and he made us to know good and evil, I therefore never doubt that he is good. So I never doubt our all-powerful, eternal Creator God, who is living, personal, relational, good, and loving. In those five, by the way, we teach here at Real Science Radio Denver Bible Church that these are the five primary biblical attributes of our eternal God. Not the Roman and Greek philosophical attributes, but the biblical attributes, the one that the Bible asserts hundreds of times over, that God is living, personal, relational, good, and loving. And I never doubt that all these things could be intuitively understood by everyone who's ever lived. And because God is good and loving and made us, I never doubt that he cares about us and wants to save us from the mess we're in, right? And I never doubt that if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead as prophesied, that Christianity is false. Does that make sense? Apostle Paul wrote that to the Corinthians. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then our faith is futile. It's false. So I never doubt that if Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, as it was prophesied that he would, I never doubt if he did not rise that Christianity is false. Nor have I ever doubted that if Jesus did rise from the dead, then all other religions are false, and as he claimed, he is the only way to eternal life. Santi, these are some of the things I never doubt. Now, what do I sometimes doubt? There are many particulars regarding the universe, the world, mankind, doctrines of Scripture, points of history, economics, science, and so on, that I'm eager to learn more of and to be corrected where I'm in error. The more significant errors that I have made over the years on the air, they're listed on our website on our errata page, which we link to from our kgov.com homepage and from the footer section of every one of the 10,000 pages on our website. By the way, at kgov.com, that's what we do. RSR.org, at the bottom of every single page, there's an error link, an errata link, and you could find what we have come to recognize as the most significant errors we've made on the air over the last 28 years. In this program and the written show description, rsr.org/doubts, look at that page, and at the bottom, you'll see the errata link. And also, Santi, whenever I make a lesser error in a radio program, we correct that error on that show's written summary page. Was this a sufficient answer, or would you like some particular detail? Thanks, Santi, Bob Enyart, Pastor, Denver Bible Church, co-host, Real Science Radio. And then P.S., Santi, as C.S. Lewis once wrote, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. This is Bob Enyart for Fred Williams and Real Science Radio. May God bless you.